I've written on the board this morning, unashamed father. I'm challenged by the word of God this morning and desire to serve the Lord, which is my father, in a manner that causes him to be pleased to call me his child. And that's how I'm challenged this morning. Did you ever as a child, I hope you did you ever as a child desire to have the approval of your father? Again, I hope that's something that we all desired as we were growing up, to have the approval of our father. I always found that it was more pleasant to have his approval than to have his disapproval. And I found myself sometimes on both sides of it. And being on the side of being approved of was more pleasant. Even in the things that may have seemed like smaller items in life, it was always pleasant to feel the approval of my father. And this morning I am inspired and motivated to live and order my life so that it results in a way that God in heaven is unashamed to be my father and to call me his child. And I'd like this morning to consider some scripture in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And this chapter outlines some of those that God was pleased to be called their God and their Father. And because of time this morning, I'm gonna move through some of these verses. I'm not gonna just read all through the 11th chapter, but I wanna pick up a few of them so you'll have to kinda move with me. The first verse says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah received the word of God. He was convinced that he received word from God, and he took it to heart. And Noah moved with a sense of urgency and humility and respect and with godly fear and unwavering obedience. And he was willing to set aside his agenda in preference for the agenda of God in heaven. How long did Noah do that? Do you remember? Wasn't it something like 100 years? Do you think that perhaps Noah might have had some other things he would have, from a temporal sense, enjoyed applying his life to than building an ark? And have everyone, not everyone, but most, scoff at him, ridicule him, question him? You think Noah ever questioned what he was doing? I do, because I think he was human. I think there were times that Noah was probably building the ark, and over the course of that 100 years, there were times he thought, "I'm building an ark and it's never rained." Was that really the word of God? Was that really God that spoke to me? I am giving my life to building an ark for rain and for water that's never happened. But he was convinced that God in heaven had given him direction to build the ark. And so the scriptures tell us that he was obedient to serve the agenda of God versus his own agenda. And I wonder this morning, how are we doing? in that area? Do we have the will and the purpose that Noah did? We have an agenda in life too, don't we? Don't we give our time and our energy to things in life? We all do. What is our ultimate purpose in life? What is it and who is it that we are trying to please in life? Noah had an example of the kind of will and purpose that it would be good for us to follow. And I note here, before we move on, Noah's obedience resulted not only in the saving of his soul, but in the saving of his family's lives too. And I just want to say this morning, don't ever underestimate the influence that you have on those around you. We have influence on our family members, our church family, our neighbors, those that we work with. Sometimes we can take for granted the truth that we know and the lifestyle that we live. And we can lose sight of the fact that God is wanting to use us as an unwavering light to the world. We talked about that a week or two ago. And our obedience to Christ may mean the salvation of somebody else's soul. May God help us to step up and be counted. Because your name is being called this morning. Your name has been called. Noah's name was called back then. It was Noah's place. And it was at the time of life that it was right for Noah, being called by God to fulfill his purpose for the salvation of his life, for the saving of other souls, and it paved the way for many, many millions of souls to come after Noah. Otherwise, everyone would have been destroyed. And he had no idea of the influence that would take place all of the years after he was gone. And yet, we are in a position we can look backwards and see the influence that he had. May God help us be diligent in living for him in a way that shines light to the world, that accurately represents Jesus Christ. That others may see that light and be able to come to the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when he was called in verse 8, to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And listen to this. He went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham went out. He heard God call him to a place. This didn't say exactly what it all was going to look like, but Abraham was living his life, a wealthy man. Abraham was a wealthy man. He had everything set in life from a temporal standpoint, it would appear. And God called Abraham and he said, Abraham, I have a place for you to fill in my body. I'm paraphrasing. It said it probably a little bit different, but that's what it was. I want you to go. I want you to pick up. And I want you to go to this place. And I don't have all the details to give you. And Abraham heard the voice of God. And no doubt in his human form, he looked around and he had all kinds of reasons why he should stay right where he was. And yet, he heard the voice of God and he heeded the voice of God. And he was faithful to get up from where he was and to go out to the place that God had called him to, not having all of the details. And the scripture says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that became his cause. That became Abraham's cause, was to do the will of the Lord, even to the point of sacrificing the very thing that was most important to him in this earthly life. He was willing to offer it up. because he had caught a vision. He had got his arms around a cause that was greater than he was. And I'm challenged today, what is your cause? What is your cause this morning in life? Every one of us this morning have a cause in life. Does your cause involve putting God first? Or does our cause primarily involve meeting the needs that are most interesting to us and satisfying the flesh in our lives here in this temporal life? What is our motivation? What are we embracing in life? Are you challenged by that? It said these all died in faith. Now there were some others that were mentioned, Abel and Enoch, and there were some others we didn't read about, and then Noah and Abraham, and I think it talked maybe about Sarah. And then it got down here and it said these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Get a hold of that. These people had the kind of faith to live in accordance to the will of their father, even when they looked around and did not even see in their lifetime the fullness, if you will, of the promise of God. Not in all cases. And it said that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. And it said they embraced them. What is an embrace? Isn't an embrace to know something pretty close? When you embrace somebody, that means you put your arms around them. You get very close. You become almost as one. And Abraham became as one. He embraced the call of God. These heroes of faith were willing to listen to the voice of God. And they were willing to embrace it and be motivated by it. And they were willing to make it their cause. And they became so convinced, having caught a vision of the Word of God, of what it meant for them in their life, that they stood fast in faith all the way to the end. What are you persuaded of this morning? What is it that we are embracing in this life? This life goes by so fast. This life that we are living in is just but a speck. Are we living in a way that God can be unashamed to be called our Father? Have we captured the vision that Jesus Christ has for you personally and for me personally in this life that we are living in? In a way that we would give ourselves to it. Listen to what it said at the end of this verse. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Do we behave this morning? Do we live our lives? Is our mindset such that we're going to live here forever? Or that we're pilgrims and strangers? That we're just passing through, that there is something more to our lives than just the here and now. Look, I know that we have plans and purposes for this life. I believe God put that in us, and that's okay. I don't want, you know, sometimes I think the older we get and the closer to the other side we get, we can start talking about that more and putting so little value on this life, and that's the way that it is. But at the same time, I don't want the young people to think that they're not supposed to have hopes and dreams in this life. God put it within us to have hopes and dreams in this life and be able to enjoy those good things that He has ordained in life. That's good. I still have hopes and dreams for this life. They haven't all gone away. They've changed a little bit from when I was young and teenage and 20s and 30s and 40s and now 50s. It seems like they change the farther that I get. But I still have hopes and dreams. That's okay. But never lose sight. Even when you're young, never lose sight draw this little diagram on the board. Never lose sight that eternity is a long time. And we are but a speck on the span of eternity. This is all we know right now. But time moves and is lost into the eternal realm. And every single one of us this morning are going to face God somewhere out here. And our lives and our souls are going to continue forever and ever and ever. And yet we can get so caught up in this speck of time that is ultimately going to be lost in the realm of eternity. And we can become so inwardly focused and place so much value on things that are going to pass away. And as we heard in Sunday school this morning, fail to prepare for eternity that stretches out in front of us. And these heroes of faith that we read about, they caught a vision of the place that God had for them when they were in this speck of time. And they were faithful to it, recognizing that there was something that was bigger than they were, that stretches out and goes on into eternity. And may God help us this morning, that we recognize we are just but pilgrims and strangers. We are just passing through. We will pass out of this time frame. We will move into the eternal realm. And while we're here, we have influence over other people that are also going to face eternity. And I'm sobered by that. And I want to fill the place that God wants me to fill when I'm here. And I don't want to put too much value. It's okay to have hopes and dreams. It's good to plan. It's good to look forward to the things that God has given to us in this life. That is good and fine, but don't ever forget, we are pilgrims and we are strangers. And 15th verse said, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to return." Abraham could have taken off, and midway through, he could have said, "You know what? This really isn't doing it for me. This isn't turning out like I thought it was going to turn out. I thought God had something that I was going to be able to affect, and I thought there were going to be some big results from it. And it just seems like I'm doing all of this traveling and going to this other country, and now he's asking for my son, which I thought was going to be needed to fulfill his promise. It doesn't seem like it's working out. I think I'm going to go back where I came from." That's what this said. "And truly, if they had been mindful and thought about the country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to go back." The Lord is not going to force us this morning to fulfill His plan for you and your life. God doesn't do that. God gives us an option. He gives us a choice. The Lord calls us with love. He beckons us to follow, but we don't have to. If we're mindful of what we left, if we want to go back, He isn't going to force us. But this scripture said they desired a better country. That is a heavenly. They desired a heavenly country. They had gotten a hold of and embraced and were motivated by and had a cause that went beyond themselves. And they pursued that. And they kept the faith. And listen to what it said. "Wherefore, because of that, God is not ashamed to be called their God." Thank the Lord. Don't you want to be in that number today? I want to be in the number where God is not ashamed to be called my God. I want to be steadfast. I want to be a child of God this morning, that in the midst of all that is going on out in the world, in the midst of all of the voices that are calling me and drawing me and drawing you, and all of the things that seem to capture our attention and things that draw us with our eyes and our ears and our flesh in so many ways. I want God to be able to look down from His throne in heaven. And I want Him to be able to see me as a faithful child of God who has put on my blinders and plugged my ears to those things that would call me away from what Jesus Christ has called me to the place that only I can fill, to the place that only You can fill in life, and that I would capture a vision of that heavenly country that goes beyond this temporal life. So that God would be able to say, I am unashamed to be His Father. I am unashamed to be His God. He is standing firm. He's standing fast. He is resisting temptation. And indeed, when He falls, He gets back up. Because there's going to be times we're going to fall. There's going to be times where we mistakenly take the wrong route. And we're going to get off track and we're going to wake up in the mercy of God and we're going to realize, I don't think this was where God wanted me to get off. Or I took this road, I knew I shouldn't have, I'm sorry, that's not what I want. The Lord is watching how we're going to handle when we get to those places. Now you're at another decision point. Are you going to go back and fulfill the will of the Lord, or are you going to go your own way? And I want the Lord God in my life this morning to be able to see a child that is willing to go the way of the Lord, to get up when I fall down, to stand fast when I don't understand, and follow Him all the way through to the end so that He is a God that is unashamed to be called my Father. And if we are willing, we can be in the number that, in the 25th verse, says, choosing rather, have an option here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, esteeming the cross that we will bear. Yes, there are afflictions that are associated with crosses that we will bear as a result of serving the Lord. Any man will come unto me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And it also says daily, there is a cross in serving the Lord. I'm never, by the help of God, am going to preach a message that says there's never any crosses in this life. Jesus told us there were crosses. But this verse said that these heroes of faith chose, they made a decision. I am going to choose rather to suffer with the people of God. I'm willing to bear the crosses that are associated with following God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because they're going to fade away. It's a season. It's passing. They're not going to last. But they got a vision of something that went beyond that, a heavenly country that went beyond the cross that they had to bear in this life, and recognized that the reproach, that the cross that was associated with fulfilling the will of the Lord was of so much greater value than the treasures that they saw in the world. Egypt is a sign of sin and the world, and that's what it refers to, and that's what this was saying, that they looked at that and they recognized. Because it was talking about Moses before that, but it has application more to just Moses, because Moses did the same thing. He left Egypt to be called by God to fulfill His will when he could have done something else in Egypt. But we too are called out of Egypt to serve the living God. And if we will be willing, everyone that is here this morning, if we will be unmovable in our faith, we too, as verse 33 says, be of those who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. I want to say this morning that God has much land for us to possess. I hope I don't ever have to face the literal mouths of lions. I hope I don't ever have to do that. I hope I don't ever have to face the edge of a literal sword. But I do know this. I'm going to face lions in this life. And I'm going to face the sword in this life. And I'm going to face enemies in this life. But if we will stand fast, we too can be a hero of faith that is able to have a testimony of victory through these times. We can be more than conquerors. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all of these heroes of faith that were just itemized in the 11th chapter, these heroes of faith are now witnesses that have moved from this life, this temporal life, into the heavenly. And they now compass us. They surround us. They are there." And it said that with so great a cloud of witnesses, because we're surrounded by Him, now it's your turn. Now you lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. I don't know about you this morning. This is the way I like to think about it. All of these heroes of faith, they are now witnesses of the truth that serving God is the best way to live, that there is a reward at the end, that the cross, it is worth carrying. And now these cloud of witnesses are there to cheer you on. They are there to cheer me on. And they're there saying, come on, you can do this. You too can stand fast. You too can live right all the way to the end. This is the right way. Don't lose sight of it. Run with patience. Capture a vision of the joy that's on the other side of whatever cross that it is that you may be carrying. And look to Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, it said that He denied the cross, it said that He endured the cross and He despised the shame because He saw what was on the other side of the cross. May God help all of us this morning do that. Why would we pursue anything other than that? When you look at it, when you think about it, when you let the Lord talk to your heart and help you understand the relative value of the treasures of this life versus the treasures that God has in store for His people, why would we even lift that up as an alternative to consider? I know these heroes of faith that we read about, they had their trials. And they had heavy hardship. And so will we. And I mean in no way this morning to take away from the fact that in this life, we will face times that we never anticipated having to face. And life can be hard. And life is hard at times. And we are faced with unexpected and grievous trials in this life. But we too can be heroes of faith. We too can dig deep. We too can set our face like a flint. We can look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we can put our trust and our obedience in Him. Oh, men and women of God this morning, be encouraged. Tired mothers and faithful fathers, don't give up. You're on the right track. You are doing the will of God. Young people, be encouraged to listen and follow the instruction of your parents. Godly parents who create and develop some boundaries for your good because they love you. There may be times where you don't see it. You don't understand it. Be willing to exercise faith in those that love you. Be strong. Be undeterred in your obedience, in following the instruction that you're given at that stage of your life. And don't be pulled into the promise of the freedom that the world offers, because it's a dangerous freedom that can consume you. Those this morning that are sick and grieving or feel alone, I want you to be encouraged this morning to know that the same God of these heroes of faith that we read about this morning is your God. The same God is your God. If you're grieving, if you feel lost, if you feel alone in life, have faith to know that morning will come. The sun will rise. Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Be encouraged this morning. To those this morning that may be disappointed in what life has brought you, unexpected things that you never saw coming that has changed the trajectory of your life, stand fast in the Lord. The Lord is there. He's on your side. He is your protector. He does have a plan. He does have a purpose for you. Don't allow the enemy and discouragement to pull you away. And this morning, to those that may be discouraged by failure, to those this morning that may be discouraged by repeated failure, get up, stand up, look up. Jesus Christ came for you. Jesus Christ came to forgive. Jesus Christ came to reestablish you in the way. Jesus Christ came to give you a new song in your heart that you can go forward with renewed confidence and hope and purpose and peace in your life. And to all that are here this morning, there is a race to be run faithfully, and there is a race to be won. And I believe today that God is there cheering us on. He is there to give us the help and the strength that we need. We can do this through Jesus Christ. Let's be encouraged today that we too can be a hero of faith. Let us live our lives understanding that our Lord is ever present and He is watching. Take courage to live your life so that we can live it in such a way that God would be unashamed to say, "These are my people and I am their God." Pray for me this morning, because I want to be in that number. I want to have the testimony of my life be said after I am gone, that He stood fast, He stood true, He caught a vision that went beyond the things of this life. I want to meet the Lord in peace this morning. Pray for me. Amen.